But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross surely has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day of rejoicing that will be.
When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
Appreciate that, ladies. What a great medley of songs there. Get your hymnals out. Let's stand and sing one more time. I want to mention in the bulletin, the wrong date is there. It's the 26th of our special back-to-school Sunday. So if you can make a mental note of that, the 28th is not a Sunday. So if you want to come to church on the 28th, that's a Tuesday, more than welcome to, but we will not be here. So the date is the 26th. I'm not sure if I overused the word love, but there's certain things I love. I love coffee in the morning. Anybody love that? Sure. Some of you drink it out of necessity. I really enjoy it. I enjoy sitting at the table, whether reading or just sitting in my chair looking outside for a few minutes. And I enjoy just the time it all consumes. I love baseball. I say, yeah, I think you overused that word. All right, well, you understand. I greatly like baseball. I enjoy watching it. I enjoy watching my boys play it. The blessing, they won their championship this past week, and they played well, and that was neat to see. But I enjoy, even when my team isn't doing well, I just enjoy all of that. I enjoy I enjoy it. I love coming to church. And say, why do you love coming to church? Look around you. I love coming in, and it's about 2 minutes to ten, and Burkhart's come walking in, and Brother Burkhart's happy, and shake his hand, and see him, and say hello to Miss Crystal, and then get over there, and it's about 10 after 10, and the Tabones come in, and man, it's just a blessing, you know. I love seeing you all. I love fellowshipping. I love hearing. This morning, I've been praying about a certain circumstance that one of you told me about. And I've been praying and asking the Lord to have His perfect will and way there. And He came and gave me a report that encourages my heart. I like when we get together and open up the hymnal and sing songs to the Lord. And just hearing the voices worship God together. Man, that's a blessing. I like opening up the Word of God, and as the Lord has placed something on my heart, I pray multiple times, even this morning again, multiple times this morning, God, may this message, may I heard it right, and that it's the right thing this morning, and that it would be a blessing to you today. I like coming to church. I like hearing the choir. I like the songs that they sing. I like the specials. I have the list of specials of who people are and who's supposed to be singing. And so I know ahead of time, maybe if you're in part of that, you'll know that. But maybe you come with the anticipation. Oh, I wonder what the special is going to be this morning. I wonder who's singing tonight. Oh, I hope they sing this song. That's one of my favorites. Now, I hope it's not wrong, but sometimes I put requests in. Some of the teenage girls come and say, I'll ask them what they're saying. I don't know yet. Oh, good. I'm so glad you don't know. I have a choice. And some songs that touch our hearts. I love watching that bus pull in and seeing the kids come off. And I love being part of the Lord's work. And I love fellowshipping with y'all. And that's why we have those dinner on the ground. Say, that's stressful on my body and it messes up my week. I'm sorry. I am. I'm not intending it to mess anybody up. The intention is to be a blessing. And if your body physically, hey, I just can't handle that. I demand a nap in the afternoon. I understand. Go do that. I'm not looking. But if you can stay with us and fellowship with us, that would be, again, if you're anything like me, it's a blessing to see friends here. And looking around and seeing one another. And I'm glad you're here this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we open up the Word of God, let's all stand for a moment as we read the most hallowed book of all books, the most powerful book of all books, the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, I'm thankful for those that are here. Lord, I am aware that there are burdens and needs that are within this room. And Lord, I pray, in no way could I meet those, but Lord, I pray that you'd use your word to meet the needs of the people. Lord, I pray that when we walk out of here, we are closer drawn to thee. That we have more of a spiritual application of this passage. And God, that we would consider ourselves in the passage. And God, we would consider what it is that you've placed in our life that would bring glory to you. Lord, help us. Lord, we love you today, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The question this morning and the title of the message, our sound guys usually ask me after, hey, what do you want to title that? The title of this message is, Will Christ Be Glorified? Will Christ be glorified? Say, of course he will. Well, will he be glorified by you? You know, our theme is, and they glorified God in me. Is that really happening? Is God glorified by me? Say, Pastor, you don't understand my circumstance.
You don't understand. I got it rough. You know what? This is a season where I am incapable of glorifying God. Right now I'm doing everything I can to just keep my head above water. There's no glorifying. I'm looking just to survive. All right. I hear what you're saying. But I do believe that God can get glory from everything. As we look at this passage, we're going to go verse by verse through the whole chapter of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Say, what time do you plan on being done? About that time. All right? So if you listen fast, I'll talk slow. And that probably won't work out so well. But we'll see what the Lord has for us in this passage. And don't get ahead of me. Don't read ahead lest you spoil the story. All right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, in the church of the Thessalonians and God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, it is a blessing to serve the Lord with others. It is a blessing. Here, we take that fact away, that thought. 1 Thessalonians starts the same way. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Praise the Lord, the group that started is the same group in 2 Thessalonians. Man, that's good. You know, sometimes people have falling outs. Say, why is that? Well, they go through seasons. They go through times. They go through, hey, you said something that offended me, and maybe it would just be better for the cause of Christ that we would serve separately. Well, I hope that's never the case, but thankfully it did not happen here. It is a blessing to have fellow laborers. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Say, what's the benefit of that? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So where's Ecclesiastes? If you go, it's right after Proverbs. Proverbs, a pretty familiar book. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, two are better than one. Is that true? Yes. Why? Why are two better than one? Because they have a good reward for their labor. They're an encouragement to each other. They're an encouragement. Man, isn't it great when you do a project or something? Mr. Knob, you work in maybe small groups or something like that in construction. You know who you're working with. Man, isn't it good to be able to walk up to someone and say, hey, you did a good job there. Well done. Now, I'm not sure if Mr. Knob gets to say that often. I hope so. We have some of our young men that work with him. Isn't it nice when the boss comes by and says, hey, you handled that well there. What does it make you want to do? What makes you want to do that again? And he says here, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. Hey, there's a positive connection going on. There's an encouragement that happens. Verse 10, it says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Hey, it's better that we go out together. It's better that it's Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Why? Because if one of us gets tripped up, there's someone there to lift us up. So it is in the cause of Christ. You remember that we are not just serving the Lord, but we are going against directly the ways of the devil, the world, and he doesn't like it. So he's going to do what he can to stop it. I'm so glad there's an extra set of eyes out there. I'm so glad there's a set of knees that can hit the ground and pray for my family and pray for one another. Why? What is that? That's helping someone stand up. That's watching out for one another. Here, as we continue to read verse 10, it says this, for if they fall, they will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Hey, in our service to God, it's good that we're together. It's good that you serve the Lord together. Man, we had a good group out yesterday morning, and people were pairing up and going here and there, and that's good. That's how it ought to be. Why? Watch out for one another. Encourage one another. We all have a certain knowledge of the Scriptures, and maybe when you pair up with somebody else and that question comes up, there you are, you can be a help. Fellow laborers, how important is that? Paul had Barnabas. Paul had Silas. Paul had Timothy. Multiple times throughout the Scripture, it is indicated of who was together. Who do you serve the Lord with? Who's your team? We never put a Sunday school teacher in by themselves. They always have a helper. Why? Well, it just keeps everyone good. It's a help. It's a benefit. I need a minute. These kids are driving me crazy. Great. Here, I'm in. You go sit down for a minute. You review the lesson. I'll hand out cookies. Great. I'll do the craft. You do the song. I'll do the craft. You work on the verse for this month. Well, work together. Prevents people from getting burned out. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have people to fellow labor. Who do you fellow labor with? Who do you serve the Lord with? Look at how he greets them. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a kind greeting. What a kind greeting. What encouraging words. Who'd you talk to this morning? Well, I talked to this person, this person, this person. What'd you say? Well, I told them that the registration's past due. I saw it on the way in. Told them that their back left tire is a little low. Told them that their kid ran into me in the hall. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. That's not what he says here. He says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts with an encouragement. He starts with a kind greeting, encouraging words. And verse 3, goes right to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you. This week, who'd you thank God for? Well, I thank God for my food. When I got to the place that I was going to, I thanked him for safety. Who did you thank God for? Paul says this, we thank God for your church. We thank God for your group. Why? Because they've been a blessing. Can I tell you what a blessing it was Wednesday night? Remember we dismissed the Williams family, and I keep messing you guys up with that. And they were all excited when we took an offering for the Williams family. They're like, woo! You know, they were excited. But we dismissed them, and I said, hey, do what you can. That night at Cronies, he said, your church has been such an encouragement to us. Man, praise the Lord. Thank you for your kind words. Who'd you thank God for this week? Oh, man, I called upon fire upon this guy. He was driving me crazy. Who'd you thank God for? He says this, we are bound to thank God always for you. Look at these. Paul is not quick to hand out accolades. He is not. He's hard-nosed. But look at what he says. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Look at how he defines them. He says, you are growing in faith, not just a little bit, but exceedingly. And your love or charity for one another aboundeth. Church had a good testimony. You know what? We're really good at speaking well of ourselves. We're a little slower to tell others what a great job they're doing. We are so good at seeing all the problems. We're very good at it. When I scan the crowd or I scan my kids and I'm looking at them and they're sitting at the table, I'm not pointing out the four that are eating right. I'm talking to the one that's eating with no utensils, right? That's who I speak to. I'm not like, hey, Abby, great job for using two hands on the cup when you're drinking. Excellent placement of the cup in the front right away from where it might get knocked over by an elbow. Well done. Hey, good job using a knife this time instead of just picking up a whole piece of meat and stabbing it into your mouth. Excellent. No, I don't do that. It's like, get your elbows off the table. Take your hat off. Take this. Do this. What are we doing? We are constantly criticizing. And we're constantly promoting ourselves. Hey, did you see what I did there? That was pretty good, wasn't it? Man, I handled that well. In the name of God. I mean, then all of a sudden we start hearing what we're saying, and then we throw in for Jesus. You know, I mean, praise the Lord. He gave me the ability to do that. Praise the Lord that God has enabled me to be so amazing. It's really just, I'm so humbled by it. No, that's not how we handle things. We let other people. If it's going to happen, we let other people. Let's look at a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 15. Now, we're going somewhere with this. Say, yeah, we're going till like 1 o'clock is where we're going. That's all right. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You know, you could bring about joy by something that you say. Do you know that you could encourage somebody by what you say? You know what Paul said? Paul says, hey, let me tell you about this church in Thessalonica. Their faith is growing exceedingly. Their charity towards one another aboundeth. Did this church have problems? Yes. Say, how do you know? Because the church had people in it. And if there's people in it, there's problems. But that's not what he brought up. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 12. Say, we were just in Ecclesiastes. Why didn't you have me stay there? Get you flipping around. But now you know where it is, right after Proverbs. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, it says, Ecclesiastes 10:12. But the lips of a fool shall swallow up himself. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Say, was Paul a wise man? Well, he spoke pretty graciously of the church of Thessalonica. How do you speak of others? What words come out about other people? We all have trouble. Mrs. Hartman, we all got problems. And we can glorify those problems, or we can encourage one another to do right. We can encourage one another to grow in faith. We can encourage one another to show charity towards each of us. Groweth in faith, charity toward all. So I read this and go, man, this church has it together. I wonder what they're doing over there. Must be easy when everything's going so well. They're being gracious towards each other. They're showing love towards another. Must be going really good over at the church of Thessalonica. Here's a good principle for us. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Sure, I would be glorifying God too if I lived there. If that was my situation, man, compared to their situation, I don't even want to go home. And look at how happy they are. Their family's always smiling. Look at the church of Thessalonica. What are they doing? They're growing in faith exceedingly. Their charity towards one another aboundeth. Man, I'm having a hard time keeping my neck above water. Must be nice living in that place. Must be nice having so much money. Must be nice having all the health. Must be nice serving Jesus and the floodgates open. Every time they open the doors, fills the place up. Must be nice serving somewhere. And that's just not my situation. Nor was it the church of Thessalonica, may I say. Because let's read verse 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. In our Sunday school class, we were looking at the call of Saul as king. The nation of Israel demanded a king. Well, you know what? They got what they asked for. How'd that go? Not good. I wish my circumstance was like the church at Thessalonica. I wish Paul would say things like that. Oh, be careful what you ask for. He had such accolades for them because they were growing in faith and had love towards another so exceedingly in the midst of persecutions and tribulations. We love the book of Hebrews chapter 11, right? What is Hebrews 11 about? Faith. And that's what we're looking at here. I've been fighting this guy all morning. Ha ha! Lord of the flies here. Done. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, what is it about? It's about faith, and that's what we're reading about, right? Isn't that what it was? What was he so impressed with? Their patience and faith in the middle of persecution and tribulation. When is faith required? When there's persecutions and tribulations. We don't walk by faith when there's no trouble. Hebrews chapter 11. We love Hebrews chapter 11. We love all of these stories. We're so encouraged by that. But do you understand that they were given victories of over natural self-will? The people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 had victory over their own personal self-wills. They had victories over temptations. They had victories over great trials and testings. And we go, oh, I wish I had faith like Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, be careful. Be careful what you ask for. Oh, I wish I was like the church of Thessalonica. Hey, so do I, because I see the list that they were given. But you know, understand that it was their faith and patience and tribulations and persecutions that got such accolades. It wasn't an easy path. It was incredibly difficult. And in the midst of persecution and tribulation, they walked by faith. They were patient. In verse 5, we see the proof of their belief. Evidence. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. What is their patience and faith? That ye might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Well, I don't want that part. I want someone to speak highly of me without any trouble. Sorry, it's not going to happen. I want my faith to grow exceedingly and my love or charity aboundeth towards others, but without difficulty, without suffering, without persecutions and tribulations. Well, that's not how it works. Here we see the proof of their belief. I like this. Which is the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. You know what they believed? Their faith was manifested because they believed something. They believed in the righteous judgment of God. That God was going to make good on what he promised. Hey, let me ask you. Do you truly believe that God is going to keep his promises and his word? Yeah, I think so. You really do. Where it says, I have to evaluate my own heart, but where he says, store up treasures in heaven. That one day, every moment, every labor, every effort, every heart, action is going to be made manifest. I really believe that. I really believe that the judgment of God is going to square all this away. Here we see the proof of their belief. There was no reproach. There was no shame. But they were counted worthy of the kingdom of God. They suffered, which brought about praise. The church of Thessalonica says that's worth it. We were talking about in our young adults class a little bit about value or cost. Sometimes we go to the, when my kids were younger, they would go to the store like Target, they would get Christmas money. And they would go to the thing and say, Dad, can I get this? It's night vision goggles for $10. I'm like, son, that's not going to work. No, Dad, I want this. This is what I want. This is spy gear stuff. My brother and I, we both have $5. We're going to put it together and we're going to get spy gear stuff. Son, that's not good use of your money. Sure enough, they get home and, Dad, this doesn't work. Yeah, I told you. Are we going to get to heaven and say, oh man, I invested all that in other people and I did all that he told me to, and then the judgment of God is empty? No, that is not the case. That is not the case one moment. We're not going to get to heaven and say, I suffered greatly for my faith. I was distressed. I was persecuted. I went through tribulation, but I stayed the course. I stayed faithful. God and the church of Thessalonica says, hey, we're good with it because we know at the end it all works out. Whether we ever see it here, we know it works out. And they're given this promise in verse 6. A future promise, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now you have my attention. God, for the tribulations I suffer for my faith and persecutions, you will then pay back to those that trouble me? How so? And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. See, God is a judge. One of the roles that he fulfills perfectly is that of judge. Again, with our children, sometimes they both come and this one's crying and that one's defending themselves. And it's very difficult to figure out what is the truth. What happened? Well, he took my toy. Well, why did you take her toy? Well, because she pinched me. Well, why did she pinch you? Because he kicked me. Well, why did you kick? And it's like, it has to go like 4 days back. And it's like, okay, just give me everything and I'm just going to throw it all away and you go sit in your room. I don't know. But one day God is going to sit on his perfect throne and he's going to judge it all. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. He's like, you're taking a position that you ought not to have. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? He says, unless you can save and or destroy human mankind, you have no say here. So who are you judging? Who have you cast judgment on? Matthew chapter 7. Verses we hear quoted, misquoted so many times. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. That's usually when someone's doing wrong, right? For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Is that true, though? Is that true? The same scrutiny I place on other people that God will place on me. That's what he says. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. But usually it's inconsistent. Because I am so exact in my criticism of one other person, but yet have a major problem in my own life. Say, that's not what that is. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Say, what's a mote? It's a sliver. Ever get a sliver, like you touch like an old fence or something like that, and you're just, you know, doing that or going up a old wooden ladder? We have a ladder here that you cannot touch without getting slivers. Say, that's what's in my eye, and there you have a beam. See, what's a beam? A very large piece of wood. And that's what happens. We get nitpicking over. You know what it takes to get a sliver out? A pair of tweezers, because your own little fingers can't even do it. And that's what we're doing. We're picking at people. And fail to see the giant problem in our own life. And Paul says to the church of Thessalonians, he says, hey, listen, don't worry. God is going to judge it himself. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, we are told to judge ourselves. The person that I'm responsible for is me. In verses 8 and 9 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. See, my plan was just cause them a little discomfort, but God goes much further than that. In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Say, what is that? That's the consequence of sin. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are lost, you know what their end is? Flaming fire. Look at the descriptions here. Flaming fire. I didn't know you could have any other kind of fire, but this is flaming fire. Anybody ever burn themselves? Anybody? There's my mechanic. He lives just up the road from my house, maybe a quarter of a mile. Works out good because I can drop off my car and then walk back and forth. He has a son who was in a real bad house fire when he was, I think, 4 or 5. Should have died, he said. He was young. Now he's a man, he's probably my age. And maybe even a little older. Completely scarred. Ever burn yourself? We'll do anything. Sometimes you have a fire or whatever, and you didn't realize something was hot, and you touch it, and then all of a sudden you hear that, and then by the time you let go, you can feel it throbbing, right? And you run over to the sink, and you put it under, and then all day, anything that touches it, zing. That is a minor, minor burn. They say one of the worst wards that you can go through in a hospital are the burn victims, because there's nothing that they can do. You just got to wait for the skin to hopefully heal. There's some creams and things that they can try and do to accelerate it, but sometimes they even have to put people in a medically induced coma because they could not handle the pain. That's the vengeance that God takes. Say, whew, that's going to be a rough time. There is no time. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? It's a punishment that lasts for everlasting. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Not only is the reality of hell true flame fire, it is a punishment, it is forever, it is separation from God Himself, a thing that we have never experienced before. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. There's going to come a time when someone is in that flaming fire for approximately a half a second, and they cry out and say, God, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake. And you know what they're going to hear? Nothing. Because it's the very first time that they have ever been separated from the presence of God. The vilest of sinners today can come and in true repentance kneel and ask God to save him, and no matter what he has done, save him from his sin, and he says, my child, welcome into the family. And please understand when I say this, the kindest of sinners, this is their fate. There's no degrees of hell. It's not like purgatory. Someone can get me out. No, it will be completely absent from the presence of God and the glory of His power. So I would like more information on that. Read Luke 16. Hell's a real place. Hell's sitting in a room with my mother-in-law listening to country music. That is not hell. Although that does sound bad, but that is not hell. No, let's read what hell is. And if that's for real, and that's the judgment God places on people, I'm going to do everything I can to try and reach them before that happens. Our last point. So we understand Paul, he has these high accolades for this church of Thessalonica. You've done so well in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trials and persecutions. And then we read verses 10 through 12. When you shall come to be glorified in the saints. Stop. God will be glorified in the saints. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Let that set in and think about that. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, there will be trouble for those that trouble God's people. And verse 7, it told us, I think it was verse 7, that he will give rest to those that serve him. To which I ask, is that enough? Is that enough to know that? Is that enough to get you through the tribulation? Is that enough to get you through the persecution? Is that enough to get you through the trial? Is that enough just knowing that God is going to make good on it one day? It should be. Therefore, in the darkest of tribulations, in the hardest of times, in the greatest amount of suffering, I can grow in faith and abound in charity. And God gets glory. God is glorified in his saints. Because the church had the long vision that it's enough. That the suffering that I experience today is worth him getting glory. Because I'm going to use that circumstance to grow. There will be trouble for those that trouble God's people and rest for those that serve him. And again, I ask the question, is that enough? Knowing that any trouble with the world, any persecution and trials endured with maintained faith will bring God glory, is that enough? Is it enough knowing that the problems I'm going through, handled properly, will bring God glory? Is it what? Okay, then bring on the suffering. Bring on the difficulty. Will Christ be glorified in you? Please understand, the trials will come. No matter what. The testings will come. The persecution will come. But will we do right with it? The world hates righteousness. It hates it. The devil hates righteousness. He's opposed to it. He fights against it. And the closer we align with Christ, the greater the enemy of the world we become. We will suffer persecution if we choose righteousness. So how are we going to handle it? What are we going to do when God comes by and brings by the trial, brings by the test, brings by the suffering? What are we going to do? Well, we're going to glorify God. We're going to grow in faith that at the end, we're better than when we began. That we abound in charity, every one toward each other. That our faith groweth exceedingly. So the question is, will he get glory? Let's all stand. Will Christ be glorified? Will Christ be glorified in you? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Maybe you're going through something today. Maybe you're going through what you would consider a trial of the faith. Persecution, suffering, whatever it is. You came here heavy-hearted, burdened. Please understand that through that, you can glorify God. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd use the message that we heard today to encourage the saints. Lord, help us. Maybe we need to be more thankful of one another and come and just thank God for those that we get to serve with. Maybe we need to pray for strength for one another. But Lord, maybe there's one here today that's heavy hardened and burdened. And God, they want to commit to glorify you, to grow in faith, abound in charity, even in the midst of the suffering. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message and consider the question again? Will God be glorified in you? Hey, I want my testimony at the end of it that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in me. Through the suffering, through the trial, through the persecution, whatever it is. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're not going to get away from it. But what's the end result? Will the suffering bring glory to God? We saw some fellow laborers. Maybe you want to grab one of those this morning and just come and pray. Pray for loss, pray for our church, pray for ministries. Man, it's good to serve God with another person. Maybe you want to be careful with your words and, hey, have I given thanks for those that I serve with? Am I kind to others? Do I promote others? Do I encourage others with my words? Maybe God reminded you of the ever dreadful fate of those that are lost. Hellfire, separation from God. And again, we ask the question, will the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in me? Is it enough to get you through knowing that He makes it all good at the end? Thank you, Mrs. Dickinson. Can we sing I Am Resolved again? Let's get that hymnal. 288.
To Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. Verse 2, I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife.
Think about that.
He hath the words of life. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
Verse 3,
I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth. He is the living way. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee.
If we read that first verse, I am resolved to no longer linger, charmed by the world's delight, because there's something higher. There's something nobler that has allured my sight. Hey, I'm not going to get consumed with the suffering because I can see something. I can see a manifestation of God's glory through faith. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for Your word, how it encourages us. Lord, how it smites us. God, I pray that we would heed it. As the song we just sang, that we will hasten, that we will be quick to run to You.
Lord, bless our afternoon. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Youth choir practice tonight, 5 o'clock.